High FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
At the time of the afternoon, it is our COVID slot, and I'm going to chat to Dr. Daniel Israel, a GP at Dr. Daniel Israel and Associates at Bluebird Medical Center in Burnham in Johannesburg. Daniel, as always, great to have you with me at the start of a new week.
Yes, Simon, great to be with you. A new week and looks like a new spin and a new topic.
Isn't it just? There I was hoping that we'd be done with all this by now, but no, we've got this new strain to contend with.
Simon, I feel like we're writing a soap opera here. It's not real the way in medicine for there to be so much change in a medical space over such a short time.
You exactly right. That's really one of those bad soap operas as well. But I suppose the question that we all want to know about this new strain is, to what extent is the vaccine effective? But I'm guessing you can't answer that question, Daniel.
So let me start off by saying that the information I'm giving is largely from Prof. Barry Shubb, which you know, I think it's important because we need to know. Like, everyone has an opinion in COVID, and it's not about what you read on the internet. It's about what the experts are saying.
Yes. So
I interviewed Barry today early on one of the shows, which is available on the podcast if you want to listen to it. And Barry basically said that the most important or concerning parts about this variant is that there's so much change or mutation to the spike protein. So we have to remember that the spike protein is the part of the virus that gets into the cells. That's how the virus gets into your cells. And the vaccine targets the spike protein as well. So obviously raises questions as to whether the vaccine will still work in terms of, stopping that mechanism. And, obviously, because if you think about it, like, it's the virus's weapon to get into the cells. If this has got so many mutations on the spike protein, it might well have more of an effect. But that said, what we have seen so far as clinicians on the ground is that we think that more and more people who are getting COVID have this new Omicron variants, because that's what happens with variants, and it would explain why we have such a high uptake in cases suddenly. And we're finding that the majority of people who have it at the moment, certainly in our community, have COVID quite mildly. So the hope is that even though there are a lot of mutations on the spike protein, that it actually isn't going to make this virus more virulent, and it might actually be to our advantage.
Can you just explain that a little more deeply? So what does that mean? If you do have COVID, you do have this new strain, you're developing antibodies, are those antibodies going to be just as strong as the previous antibodies would have been against the prior strains?
So one has to remember that there's two types of antibodies that one develops. I mean, one is more natural, so to speak, antibodies, which is from having had an infection, and the other is vaccine-induced antibodies. So we don't know yet whether the vaccines are going to give you antibodies that are good weapons against this variant. But what we have seen is that in our largely vaccinated community, the people who have COVID are thankfully doing well. So there is a lot of reason to think that their antibodies will be good. In terms of natural immunity, so we know that when your body gets a virus and you fight it off, you develop antibodies, and beyond antibodies, T-cell immunity and your own immunity to the virus, and obviously then you will be immune. Now the question is for how long, we don't know, and if COVID continues to mutate, will you still be immune to the next mutation? We really don't know. Barry, Prof. Shubb did say very clearly that one mustn't think that these are the only variants. I mean, he listed about six or seven from different places in the world, and we just happened to pick this one up here in South Africa.
So Daniel, I want to put a question to you from a listener. Gimble is the name. He says, question, with previous epidemics, such as the Spanish flu, have there been as many variants as there have been with COVID? If not, why now?
Because the straight answer to that is we don't know. Remember that Spanish flu was 100 years ago when there was no way to type out variants. In fact, PCR testing was pretty new some years ago. And I remember when I was at medical school learning about it, and it was an absolute amazement that you could do molecular medicine testing. Now we're at the advanced stage of being able to type out the genome of a virus and see how it's changed. But in those days, they would have just said, you know, you got the Spanish flu. But Prof. Shubb certainly did say that we've certainly seen influenza every year. There's mutations, which is why you can't use your last year's flu vaccine for this year, and you actually have to repeat it. But the hope is that this thing becomes more endemic and just something that we live with, and that if it does have milder disease, that we're actually able to just make sure people are vaccinated and get on with our lives. The difficulty at the moment is that there's a lot of people still, unfortunately, in this country who are not vaccinated.
Yeah.
And given the fact that we don't know the clinical presentation of this virus, those people are at risk if they get it. And we think that this is much more contagious because we're seeing an uptick in cases, which makes the R number much higher. So really the answer is vaccinate and be safe for now again.
We're going to leave it there, Daniel. Vaccinate and be safe is a really good place to leave it. You and I will chat again tomorrow. Thanks as always.
Great, Simon.